Thursday, the 7th of December, second day Chanukah, Rabbi Yehuda Feldman, the uniqueness of Nes Chanukah. The 6th of December.
The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, has a very, very unusual lashon. The Rambam says, the mitzvah of Chanukah, mitzvah chavivohi ad ma'oid. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, mitzvah chavivohi ad ma'oid. The mitzvah Chanukah is a very beloved, cherished mitzvah, ad ma'oid. This lashon, we don't find, the Rambam writes, with any other mitzvah. How come on side by mitzvah chavivos, one mitzvah is more beloved, more chaviv than another mitzvah? What does the Rambam mean that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is chaviv? It's so beloved, ad ma'oid, a very, very, very cherished, very chaviv. Chanukah, after all, is a mitzvah drabbanon. It's not written in the Torah about the mitzvah of Chanukah. So what does it mean that this mitzvah is so chaviv, it's so beloved to us? Ad ma'oid, what does that mean? Many mitzvahs are chaviv. The mitzvah of Esrog, we find the Inyan of Hiddul. Yet the Rambam doesn't say with the mitzvah of Dalav Minim that it's something that's so beloved to us, ad ma'oid. What does the Rambam mean? What does it mean when he writes about the mitzvah of Chanukah that it's so chaviv? What is this special chavivus? More than this, on Chanukah there were two main nisim. The first nis was the fact that we were victorious in war. Chazal tell us, the might of Yavon, it was the most powerful army in the world at the time. Over 100,000 foot soldiers, 23,000 soldiers trained in combat, and they had elephants, 32 elephants with armor plating. The Medrash says that in the morning when the sun would shine on the Greek army, the dazzle, the glare from the sun shining on the armor was so great that anyone would be blinded within miles around. And against the might of this army, the Chashmonaim, 12 or 13 Chashmonaim in number, went to fight. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous nace. It was against all odds. The second nace was the nace of the Parshemen. They came to the Beit HaMikdash. They found that the Yevonim had been metame all the oil, and they found there had been a little jar of oil. Yet, when we commemorate this nace, which nace do we commemorate? The nace or that we were victorious in war, or the nace of the Parshemen? True, we say Sha'asa Nisim, we incorporate all Nisim. Yet the Ikar Zecha, the remembrance that we make on Chanukah, is to remember the nace of the Parshemen that we found in the little jar of oil, and the nace that it burned for 8 days. Why is it specifically this nace that we commemorate? What about the nace that we were victorious in war? Surely that, as we said, was almost as great a nace, if not even greater nace. It was impossible for 13 Chashmonaim to fight and win against the might of the army of Yavon. Yet what is it about the nace of finding the Pach Shemen that's what we celebrate every year? What's the Indian of this nace? And not only is it called the summer nace, it's a nace godol on the dreidel state, nace godol hoyashom. It was a nace godol. What defines it as being a nace godol, such a big nace? There were many great nisim. If you'll tell me, perhaps it was because it was a nace that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps that's why it's called a nace godol. There were numerous nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. We all know the Mishnah Novice, Asor Nisim Nasu, have a 10 famous Nisim. The Beis HaMikdash could never have contained the amount of people it did. The Chotzer, the courtyard, on Yom Tovim contained millions of people, literally. From all over people came. How big was it? In today's measurements, about 70 amos by 50 amos, perhaps less. Very, very small area. Yet millions of people crammed in there. When the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in Kippur, Lifnai v'Lifnim, and when he said the Shema Mefirash, everyone answered Baruch Shem, And when they bowed down, we're told they had four amas each. How is that possible? Physically. How come so many people get into such a small area and have dalat amas around each person to bow down? The answer is it wasn't nais. It was lemaila min ha-teva. A tremendous nais. So the fact that the oil burned for 8 days was one another one of the additional nisim that happened in the Beit HaMikdash. But what makes it such a special nais? There were so many nisim. The oron, the actual size of the oron, it was a nais that it fitted into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amas. The oron was 22 and a half amas. Physically, it could never have got in. Yet it did. It was a nais. There were nisim taking place constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. So what was so unusual? What is so special that we commemorate this nais of the Pach Shemen every year with Hanukkah? What makes it so chaviv, as the Rambam says? Chaviv, or nishtam chaviv, ad ma'oid. It's a nais that is chaviv, that is a beloved, cherished mitzvah, ad ma'oid. We have to understand this. And it's a nais gadol. And finally, to make the kasha even stronger, this idea of a ner burning for longer than it should wasn't a new phenomenon in the Beis HaMikdash. They had the ner ma'aravi. How did the Kohen Gadol, how would he light the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah every day? With a box of matches, he used to go into the oil maid, and one of the lights, every evening he would light the menorah. By the next morning, they all gone out, apart from the Ner Maravi, I think it was the second one from the Mizrach side, that Ner Maravi stayed alight. And from there, the Kohen Gadol would light the others. This Ner Maravi stayed alight throughout the years of the Mishkan, well over 400 years. Throughout the years of the first Beis HaMikdash, and until Shimon HaTzadik passed away, they had the Ner Maravi, which continued burning. So what was so special and so unusual that a Ner could continue burning for 8 days? This wasn't a new idea. What is it about Hanukkah that we celebrate every year? We go through the motions every year, we light the menorah, we sing Moed Tov. What are we celebrating? What is so special? Such a nice chaviv, ad ma'oid. What's the inyan over here? To understand this, we have to give a little akdama. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that says, if a nais occurs to a person, he was saved from a car crash, or he fell down a mountain, he was saved. Every year on that day, the person should travel a bit harder, give extra tzedakah, learn some more Torah. Some people say you should make a seuda. There's an inyan to remember the chesed that Hashem did to a person on that day. One can come to think that when we celebrate the Yomim Tovim, it's the very same idea. We celebrate Pesach to remember just that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Shavuos to remember the fact we got the Torah, and so to Sukkot, we're remembering the chesed Hashem did to us in the Nanei Yaakovitz. This is not the case. It's not just to remember events that once happened. True, we have to remember the chassadim of Hashem. But it's much deeper than that. The idea of Yomim Tovim is that on Pesach, not only did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim with tremendous nisim, and did Hashem make for us Kriyas Yom Suf. Pesach is one of literally the foundations of Yiddishkeit. It's the time when the Rebbeinu Shalom told us, we will become the Am HaNivchor. We will become a Mamleches Kohenim V'Goy Kodosh. On Shavuot, it wasn't just an event, we got the Torah. That's not just what we celebrate every Shavuot, we're commemorating the fact we got the Torah. On Shavuot, when we dilanu min atoyim, when Rabbeinu Shalom elevated us from anyone else. Shavuot is literally one of the foundations of why we exist. The idea of getting the Torah wasn't just an event. It's what it's what defines us as a Yid. Sukkot, it wasn't just to remember the Ananei HaKavod. Sukkot, we got that special kirva from the Rabbeinu Shalom. That Dveikus, that Nonkite, the Rabbeinu Shalom showed us. It's what sets us apart. It's one of the foundations of our Yiddishkeit. Hanukkah is no different. we're not just celebrating a nis. It's not just to remember that once Hashem did a chesed for us. We have to define what it is. But the nisim on Chanukah is something that a basis of our belief, of our emunah, of our Yiddishkeit. The Rizal gives the remez. He says, like a piece of furniture needs four legs, a table, a chair, so too we have the Shalish Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. The fourth regal, he says, is Chanukah. And this is merumah, he says, the fact that the Gemara speaks about when one can light the menorah. The Gemara says, from Shkia, Ashatich le regal min Ashuk. He says, that's the remez. It's got a din of a regal. It's a foundation. It's a basic idea of what it means to be a Yid. The limudim from Chanukah are not just events. They're a part of us. So Pesach, we can understand why it's such a basic idea in Yiddishkeit. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom took us out and made us an Am, we became a nation, an Am HaNivchar. Shavuos, so when we got the Torah. Without the Torah, the person is limited to what he can, how great he can become. Sukkot, we understand, the tremendous Vekus to us that Hashem showed us. But what is so special? What's the limud that we take out of Chanukah? So the Mefarshim explained that the idea of Chanukah teaches us how a Yid has to live b'cheshchas hagolus. At the time when the Chanukah story took place, there was tremendous assimilation in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, the Yevonim were very successful. There were only very, very few people who stayed true l'man Hashem v'seirosei. And the Chashmonoim, like we said, 12, 13 Chashmonoim, with their tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, they were Mishana literally their own Teva. No one wants to die. Yet they were prepared to go and fight and wipe out Yavon from Eretz Yisrael. L'man Hashem. They were able to display tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. And he showed us how to live in Golos. How to live in a Ruchnistik Golos. Only with Mesiras Nefesh. And with that mysterious nefesh, from there continued and flourished Teresh Baal Peh. That was the beginning of the times of the Tanoim, and that was the Ikka Limud of Godus, of Chanukah. How to live in Godus. That was what Chanukah was all about. How to live at a time in a spiritual Godus. They might have been in Eretz Yisrael, but spiritually they were in Godus then. And it was their mysterious nefesh that showed the way how a Yid is supposed to live. That was what the limud of Chanukah is. We have to understand though, what is it about Chanukah that's such a nes gadol, that's such a nes chaviv, as the Rambam says. Chaviv az me'od. What is it about Chanukah? I heard this idea from Rav Shimshon Pinkas of Chayim Levracha. I want to just elaborate on what he said. It's poshut that we are different from the rest of the world. We're different in many ways. But when it comes talking about a relationship a person has with the Rebbeinu Shlom, with God, in what way are we different? The idea that their God exists, that's not what sets us apart. The Goyim also believe in a God. Every American dollar bill says, in God we trust. If you ask any thinking guy in the street, the world just happened? Of course it didn't just happen. There come up no atheists in the world nowadays. So what is it? They believe in a God, we believe in a God. What's the difference between us and them? What's the chiddik? The answer is poshut. Their conception that the Rebbeinu Shlom exists, he taka made the world, but that's it. I can't have any connection to Hashem. Hashem is so great. Hashem is so awesome. How can a person connect us all? No marshal. Like a person would understand, he cannot possibly understand the language of animals. Is it possible to understand how animals speak? No. Why is that? It's not just a foreign language. It's not like learning Chinese. If that was the case, there'd be courses and teaching people how to understand the language of animals. Why is it that we cannot understand how an animal speaks? The answer is because the whole mahus, the whole makeup, the whole being of an animal is so far removed from a person, it's so different to a human, that it's impossible to understand the oimuk of an animal to be able to understand how it speaks. Shlomo HaMelech, Berov Chokhmasoi, he was in tremendous clever mind, able to understand the whole being of animals, so he was able to understand how they speak. But we cannot possibly understand such a thing. So too a guy will probably tell you, that's why it's impossible to have a shaykhus of Hashem. Hashem is so great, he's so awesome, it's impossible for a person to ever connect with such a great God. A yid thinks punkfaket. We know through our tefillah, through our mitzvahs, through our Torah, a person connects with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every yid has in him a neshama. That neshama is his chelik elokim mal. It's the godliness in a person. And through that neshama, a person connects with Hashem. And not just a person's aware that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything about him. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. There's an ava, avas olam beis Yisrael. A guy can never understand this. This ava is merumas and the kruvim. The Mepharshim explained there are two kruvim on top of the orin. One was kaviyachol to ramit to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the other one to klal Yisrael. It was literally a shaychus like a husband and wife. How can one understand this? The Torah says there was such ava the Ribbono Shel Olam had for us that in certain inyanim, in certain areas, kaviyachol, it's possible for a person to even become almost doimeh in some ways to Ribbono Shel Olam. A great godel, a person who knows huge amounts of Torah, Kabbalah, is his wife doimeh to him? Is she as great as him? Of course not. But there are certain areas where they connect. There are certain areas where they have to have a common interest. People go to a great tzaddik for a bracha. We know throughout our history, people already from Eli HaKohen, and Tzukazok to Chana a child, and it was many, all the generations, great people were able to promise things, and they happened. The Chofetz Chaim, there's stories about him, how he promised people things, and it took place. People go to a Grace of Rebbe, they need parnasa, they need children, and the Rebbe tells them it will happen, and it happens. How is it possible? The answer is, the closer a person is to his neshama, the closer a person is nistavik to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him an asharus, gives him a possibility to literally have a koyach in the hisnagus, in the way he runs the world. The Gemara says in Shabbos, even if he goes a gzeira, tzaddik mevatlo. Even if Hashem makes a decree, a tzaddik is able to annul it. How is he able to annul it? The answer is because of this tremendous kirba that he has. He's so dovok to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Hashem loves us so much. In certain ways, a person, a great tzaddik, is able to have a hashpah on the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is misnaig in the world. This comes about because of the tremendous love the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us. So we said so far two things. That the moedim are not just events. The moedim are basic ideas of our lives, Hanukkah included. And also we explained that the shaychus a person has with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not just the Ribbono Shel Olam is aware of him. There's an ava between the Ribbono Shel Olam and us. This ava manifests itself in everything a person does, especially on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And in this nekudah is where Hanukkah differs from the other Yom Tov. For example, if there's a person, a great person, who wants to have a kesher with a person on a lower madriga than him, there are two possibilities, two ways a person can create the kesher. A great person can either elevate the lower person to his level, or he could lower himself down to the lower person. Which way shows a greater ava? For him to elevate the person up to him, or for him to lower himself down to that person? The answer is pashut. For him to lower himself down, that is, shows a greater ava. Let me give a moshel. It's not a true story. An English bacha came from a very respectable, comfortable home, goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael. He learns there for a few years, he does very well, and they read him a shidduch. It's a bit of an unusual shidduch. A girl from a very, very poor family from Meir Shearim. But he hears that this girl has beautiful nefesh. He meets the girl, so come on, they get engaged. the parents come out and they see the financial situation of this poor family, and they said to them, don't worry, we'll pay for the chasna, we'll look after your daughter, we'll buy them a house back in England. And they do everything. The chasna arranges the colour to learn English, he buys her, mentions them, they buy her clothes, everything she needs. Everything's taken care of. They buy them a nice house, everything. Comes to the time of the chasna is in Eretz Yisrael, the parents of the boy come, they pay for the chasna, the lot. And the chasna come are there in Eretz Yisrael just a few weeks, and they're going to go back to England. The last week, this new wife says to the husband, you know, you've done everything for me. You've looked after me, you've made me feel part of the mishpacha, your parents have paid for everything. I know that what I want to ask from you is quite a difficult bakasha, but I very much, it would mean a lot to me if you do this for me. She says, I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael now, and it's very hard for my family to say goodbye. So for the last week that we're here, my parents, they've converted a little mepeset off the kitchen into a little bedroom. And I know it's going to be very squashy, no room then with all the family, but it would mean very much if you'd come and move in with me for that last week in that little apartment and be with me together with my family. Everything this chosn's done for his kala till now has been chosn. He's looked after, he's given it everything. But if he would go and move in his little Meir Sha'arim Dira, and he would change his whole being for something that he's used to, a nice big house, and he'll squash up there for that week, that will be Chavit Ad Ma'oid. Every Shabbos, when we celebrate Shabbos, we feel a feeling of Me'en Olam Haba. The Rabbi Yishon Kaviyachot elevates us to Him. We're raised up higher than we deserve. Yom Tov is called in Lashon Chazal Me'en Yemoisa Mashiach. That special feeling a person has in Yom Tov is Me'en Yemoisa Mashiach. We're brought up Kaviyachot to close to the Rabbi Yishon. Chanukah is different. Chanukah, the Rebbeinu Shleim is misnayed differently. He kaviyachol comes down to us. This relationship of the Rebbeinu Shleim coming down to us started at Matan Torah. We weren't really deserving. True, we had gone out of Mitzrayim, we had gone out of the Memtes Shari Tumah, but the Rebbeinu Shleim Baruch Chastoy, he literally opened the Shemayim and came down to us. He was misnayed with us in an unusual way, in a way we weren't deserving. Normally when we get that feeling on Shabbos and Yom Tov, after we put in our Avodah, we feel good, we're brought up to the level, or episode level, like the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Chanukah was the opposite. We were given a tremendous chesed, we were shown a tremendous chavivus by the Rebbeinu Shleilam, even though we weren't deserving of it. There were only very, very few people at the time in the second Beis HaMikdash when the Yavonim were there who actually stayed true to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. 13 men went out to fight against the whole might of Yavon. The rest of Kali Yisrael, unfortunately, were assimilated. Torah wasn't flourishing then. And yet, after Rebbeinu Shel Olam saw the Mesiras Nefesh that the Chashmonaim put in, the Rebbeinu Shleim Baruch Chastoy was misnayig with us in an unusual way, something we weren't deserving of. He said, after seeing such mysterious nefesh, I will perform a nace of the Shemen burning for 8 days. The Shemen, the oil, is the oil of Torah. The Rebbeinu Shleim did for us a nace, even though we weren't deserving. He kaviyachol came down to us and showed us the chavivus. The reason why it was dark in the Ner, as we know, Oira Zu Torah, it was the Miramis to us, the light of the Torah that actually flourished from then onwards. That was the Neis Gadol. True, there were many, many great Nisim throughout our history. Kriyas Yamsuf, all the Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, these Nisim showed the Noira of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Gvura, the greatness of Hashem. The Neis of Chanukah wasn't just that it burned for 8 days. The tremendous nace was the way the Rebbeinu Shleim was misnayig with us. The fact that he did for us a nace that we weren't deserving of. That was a nace, the chavivus. That was why it was chaviv ad ma'oid. That was why it was such a tremendous nace. And that's why we dafka celebrate this nace and not the nace of the Mechama. True, The fact that we're victorious in war showed the tremendous, tremendous greatness of Hashem, how He saved us. But it was only as a result of the Mesiras Nefesh that we put in that the Rebbeinu Shem did for us this tremendous chesed. He was misnayed with us with a chavivus that we weren't deserving of. And this hashpah comes back every year Chanukah. Every year Chanukah we're reminded of this tremendous chavivus that Hashem has for us. How the Rebbeinu Shem tells us, Imo yanoichi v'tzara, I know we're in Golus. I know that we're in a spiritual Golus. But the Rebbeinu Shem reminds us, I am with you. And every year Chanukah we're reminded of that tremendous chavivus that Rebbeinu Shalom has for us. That's what makes Chanukah so unique. That's what makes Chanukah so special. And if one thinks, why is it that nowadays we don't go out and fight against the koyach of Ra in the world? Why is it, Chanan asked the famous question, why is it that Purim, we don't find that Eden and Chatzchila went to fight against Haman? They davened the Pchi at Tzoka and they fasted, yet at the Chanukah they went out to fight. What's the difference? And he says there, the Gzeira of Haman was to annihilate us, physically. When it comes to Gzeira against us in our Guf, the only way out is Tzillah. The fight against Yavon was a spiritual fight. They didn't want to kill us, they wanted to assimilate us. There, when it comes to assimilation, a person has to go out in the Mesiras Nefesh to fight. So Rabbi Chanan asked the Chofetz Chaim, why is it that nowadays we're assimilated, why don't we go out and fight? And the Chofetz Chaim said, they're talking about the Jewish communists who literally were assimilating tens of thousands of from Eden. The Chofetz Chaim said we should really go out and fight. So why is it that nowadays we don't go out and fight against the Chilonim, the anti-religious people, or even against the Goyim who try and assimilate us? Why aren't we going out to fight? What are we doing? Why don't we emulate Matisyahu and the Chashmonaim? I think the answer is Poshut. Number one, can one truly say that one keeps the mitzvah since it's Shabbos? Does one really keep Shabbos? Does one really, really keep it because and have enough belief in one's mitzvahs to be able to go over to somebody and say to him, why aren't you keeping Shabbos? We're unfortunately mushba from the time that they tie it to us. I live my life, you live your life, leave me alone. We don't feel enough for them. The Rebbeinu Shlom gives us a neshama. The correct answer will be that we say every morning, Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tahirahi. Why is that neshama tahira? Because ato yitzata, you Rebbeinu Shlom created it. A person who goes against the Ratzon Hashem, he's literally stealing from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Like a person who eats from this world without a bracha is a gullus. He's stealing from Hashem. So too, if we really, really felt that we would have the feeling that any person who goes against the Ratzon Hashem is quite literally stealing from the Rebbeinu Shalom. The problem is we don't feel this way. We're not so dovuk down the shamus that we actually feel this way to be able to go to a person and say to him, how can you go against the Ratzon Hashem? The Chofetz Chaim felt that way. But we're not that madriga. Of course, also, when one fights for Mesiras Nefesh, there has to be the Teyah HaLev, the correct Kavana. Yet, how many of us can actually say that when we'll go against and taina against people who are not religious, are we really doing it with Teyah HaLev? Are we really doing it 100% Hashem Shemayim? So where is this Muhammad supposed to take place? And the Farshim says the Muhammad takes place in the Beis HaMedrash. The Muhammad of Teyah, the Muhammad of Tefillah, that's our greatest Muhammad. By us concentrating on our Torah and Tefillah, that way we'll be zeicha to fight the forces of Ra'an Olam. We shall be zeicha to be a Torah.